Hello, everybody out there listening to my show, Gods and Goddesses. Through this great medium of internet radio, which extends all around the world, I hope people are listening not only from the United States, but from every country. I like to think that, you know, don't know the real numbers and the facts, but... And then there might be extraterrestrials listening to my show also. Maybe from a spaceship parked behind the moon. Maybe somewhere in the atmosphere above Earth. I like to think that because in my show, I talk about everything, mainly about spirituality. And I don't hold any punches, so to speak, when I talk about spirituality. I go right to where I believe the truth is, and I don't think things should be kept a secret. I was a member of a mystical order called the Rosicrucians. My mother was too. For 20, she did it quite a few years, but I forget how many. She had 22 degrees. So it is a mystical order, and it goes all the way back to Egypt 5,000 years ago. Very interesting stuff that deals with astral travel, the human aura, dreams. And I got 4 degrees myself, and they have these routines that they do, routines, kind of like with the Catholic Church, you know, and all of their different rituals, which some people might consider unnecessary, you know, when you want to communicate with the creator of your soul and your spirit, right? But I gave that up because, really, I tried it and just it wasn't doing anything for me. Whereas with my mother, she really enjoyed it. And I think that's what sustained her to live to be a ripe old age of 81, even though she smoked and drank. And so I talk about spirituality. And I've said this before in other shows. I believe that we are here on Earth to develop ourselves spiritually. Everything else is secondary. The job, making money, food, going on vacations, which unfortunately hasn't happened too much during CV. I call it CV coronavirus. And so during this show, I've been thinking, and I've been inspired, I believe, by the Creator. I've got so much to talk about. And I've written down a few things, but I really like to be spontaneous when I talk on my show. First of all, I'd like to give a shout out to my son who is in Burbank, California. He just bought a car, a 2016 Kia Optima. I've got a 2016 Toyota Camry. And that's his first car. I'm sorry that I didn't help him to buy a car before when he was younger, but the circumstances were different then. And so he finally made it happen, and kudos to him. I know he's riding on top of the world right now. He's got a job in Burbank there working for a golf course beginning on Monday. So he just got laid off at Warner Brothers. He had been working for them for a couple of years. So now he's got another job, and that's great because he was about to go on unemployment there in California, and I was only going to make a couple hundred dollars a week. And as you know, they haven't passed a stimulus bill yet, which is a bummer. Oh, I don't want to say too many negative things about what's going on, Mr. Trump, you know, and the Congress. But I've got other things to talk about, other more uplifting things, which I think will be uplifting. So there might be some extraterrestrials out there listening. And why not? I think I'm a dynamic person. I love myself. I love my heart, you know. I listen to a beating sometimes, and it's just, I'm so in love with my body, you know. the temple of my soul, my spirit. And I haven't always treated it well, but I'm learning to do that more and more each day as I get older. You know, I'm over 66 years old and still working because I enjoy making the extra money. Now that I'm collecting Social Security, it's wonderful. So also a shout out to my stepdaughter, Kathy, who lives in Tokyo, Japan. Isn't it amazing, the technology? You know, I was hearing her talking with, calls and talks with my other stepdaughter, Eva. She just had three teeth pulled yesterday, and so she's recovering from that. And so Kathy and I have gotten into discussions before. She's very, very intelligent. She's a teacher there in Tokyo. English is a second language. So one of the subjects we got into before was abortion. And, you know, I'm kind of pro-life, but I see both sides of the coin, so to speak, and she's pro-choice. And so all I got to say about that is I've read books about people who went to heaven, and apparently there's a place there, a building, a huge building, where the spirits of the aborted and miscarried souls that were here on earth go and are raised by angels. What do you think of that? Anyway, we're getting close to Christmas, right? And some of you may have heard me talking about the Bible, and I never mean to bash the Bible. I just want the truth come out, you know. And Jesus, I want us to know Jesus as a person, Jesus Christ. And I don't think there's too many people out there that are really that interested to know who he was, and I am. You know, there's a great movie, I don't know if anyone out there has seen it, called The Gospel of John. It was made in 2015, I believe. Maybe before then, I'm not sure. Maybe it was 2008. The director was Philip Seville. And it is an amazing movie. Henry Ian Cusick was the actor who played Jesus. And I have seen that movie, I'm serious, about 100 times. Now, would you watch a Jesus movie about 100 times? So when I bash the Bible, or when I try to say, well, the Bible was wrong here, you know, I mean, everything else is great. I mean, it's true, I believe, but that part, I don't believe that. And would you kill me for that? I'm just kidding. Anyway, so Jesus, the miracles, I like to focus on that, you know. But at this time of the year, we're getting closer to Christmas. The birth of Jesus all those years ago is a really significant thing for me because, you know, in this world, everything we're going through in the lower evolutionary category of a planet, we are stuck in the middle of a pandemic. You know, we're evolving. There's a lot of anger around. I've seen it. You know, people are out of work. They don't have money to pay their bills or buy food. It's so sad. I was talking with my coworker the other day, and I said, I think we really could have done things differently. And wearing a mask, too. I don't know about you, but I can't breathe properly. It's covering my nose and mouth like that. Maybe my son's sending me this other kind of mask. It's made of cloth, but I have this one that you buy in boxes, you know, like 20 in a box. I go to the store, I walk around, I have to breathe through my mouth because I can't breathe through my nose, you know. It's just kind of stressful. But anyway, back to Jesus. Now, I would like to focus on some main things in regard to the birth of Christ. The Jesus that was born in Bethlehem. When we're born into this world, my friends, we come from heaven. We have a pre-existence. The only thing is that we can't remember it. I like to do a little reading from a book called The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills. And I just got this book. I had a copy before. I ordered it through Amazon. And it's a very interesting book about what we did when we were young spirits and souls there in heaven before coming to earth. Our lives were planned in advance. In fact, there's a book there called The Book of Life where you can just look and the pages will turn. It's a huge book and the pages are pure white and there's always angels everywhere in heaven. And if you look on this book, apparently you can preview your life all the way almost to the end. They won't let you see when you die because it can affect your life on earth, apparently. But then you're born into this world and you go through what they call the river of oblivion, which means that your memories of your past life, your pre-existence in that spirit world where there's light everywhere. And does anybody know where there's a light somewhere around the solar system? Hello? And then you are born, you're a baby, but you don't remember. The memories have been erased, almost as if being erased. And that's for a purpose. We're meant to forget because this is a very special learning environment here on this planet of a category one, from 1 to 9 in evolutionary steps. We're in a category one planet. It is a beautiful world, wouldn't you agree? All the life here. And I was going to read from this book, but let me just say, of all the life here on Earth, you know, the insects, a million, over a million types of insects, over 30,000 types of fish in the rivers, lakes, seas, oceans, over 10,000 types of birds, over 10,000 types of reptiles. Oh, my God, so many different types of bodies, you know, eyes, wings, some have wings, metabolisms, reproductive systems, defense systems, who catch prey, special means of catching their prey, eyes that can see up to 200 yards clearly, you know. Amphibians, mammals, thousands, flowers, trees, apples, fruits and vegetables, I mean. And I'm going to say something about a tree later on. But with all that life, if it happened by accident, is it not logical that that life, that all this life on Earth could happen by accident elsewhere in the universe? I mean, anywhere. But if there is a creator of the universe, creator of the universe, we love you. You are awesome. Please, let me see a bolt of lightning in the sky to show that you are listening to me. I'm just kidding. So the creator of the creator, there is a creator who has the power and the knowledge to create this life on Earth. Logically, that creator would have the power and knowledge to create either the same life or a different life anywhere in the universe. Okay, so just a little bit from this book here. The Soul's Remembrance by Roy Mills, The Journey to Earth. When my pre-birth education was finished and it was time for my mortal birth, my angel guide took me to a very large room the size of a sports stadium. The interior was radiant and beautiful and looked as if it had been painted with sunlight. Inside were large glowing columns that ran from the floor all the way to the ceiling. My angel guide and I were the only ones in the room at this time. It was called an exit room or holding room, a final stop for young spirits who were waiting to come to Earth. As we walked across the floor, my guide gave me last-minute instructions. She had been with me throughout most of my training, and I loved her. I knew I was going to miss her kindness and gentle guidance while I was away on Earth. "Will you come with me?" I asked. She smiled, and I knew she would not be coming. But before she looked away, I saw empathy in her eyes, for she knew the experience I was embarking upon. But I also noted that she seemed to know a greater joy in the purpose of what I was about to do. She said very tenderly, "You know I have duties to attend to, but I will check on you throughout your life and I will see you soon. We walked to the far end of the room and stopped to wait for the angel who would escort me to Earth. We continued to talk about the adventure I was about to begin. The more we talked, the more excited I became to embark upon my journey. Then suddenly, there was a mighty rushing wind, and a door appeared in the wall before us. An angel stepped through the door, which disappeared behind him as quickly as it had materialized. This angel had broad, powerful shoulders. The robe he wore was unlike the ones the other angels had. It looked as if it were made of sheep's wool instead of silk. It was long and hung all the way to his bare feet. The escort had a strong, rugged quality about him, and I knew he was a great warrior angel. Yet despite his commanding appearance, I felt great love and tenderness radiating from him. When my angel guide saw my escort, her eyes grew wide with surprise and excitement. "I can't believe he came himself to take you to Earth," she kept saying over and over again as she led me toward him. But she never spoke his name. It might have been Archangel Michael. As I took in his magnificence, I was in awe. He was much taller than even my angel guide. His face was angular, his jaw was square and set, and his eyes were confident and kind. The two angels spoke with one another for a while, and then the escort looked down at me and asked in a firm but kind voice, "Are you ready to go?" "That's all for right now." So I think it would be safe to assume, my friends, that that happened in a similar way to us before we came to Earth, before we were put into our mother's bodies in their wombs, right? Right? We can't remember back that far, can we? But we were in our mother's wombs for 9 months. Isn't that amazing? So going back to Jesus, there's a couple of main points I'd like to make. And I'm just looking for the truth. You know, we're kind of stuck in reality. The other way around. We're not stuck in reality. We're stuck in fantasy. I know I've got millions of people listening to me out there, and I got to admit, my nerves are a little bit... No, I'm just kidding. And if there are extraterrestrials listening in to me, I'm sure that, their intelligence is so great. I can feel that they might be, you know. And I've said this before on my shows, that I would really like to make contact with extraterrestrials before I leave this world, you know, whenever that may be. And to be honest with you, I've had sleep apnea. I do have sleep apnea. I've had sleep apnea attacks in the past. You've heard of people when they wake up and they're gasping for air. Well, that's happened to me and recently. And it's not a very pleasant feeling. You know, you do feel like you're dying for a few seconds. And it hasn't always been that way. You know, I'm getting older now, 66. And so I feel fortunate to be alive. And I'm not ashamed to say that to you because I'm a victim of circumstances, you know, in this society that we live in. There's all kinds of pressure that we are being bombarded by during our daily lives. You know, I work behind a computer all day and my eyes get tired. And then I'm singing. I like to sing. I told you before, I'm a karaoke guy, but I think I'm going to give that up except for singing with a band. There's something about it that I think it's breathing. It's got to do with breathing when you're singing along with a song and you have to. And I've got a repertoire of a couple hundred songs, but there's something about breathing throughout a song. It's not like your real breathing. Now, a cappella singing is more like it. That way you can take your time and you can take deep breaths. So I've kind of isolated that. I don't know if I mentioned it before because it seems like my life, and I know other people's lives also, are works in progress, and we try something that works. I'm more about that than most people, I think. You know, some people, they, like my father, he was very traditional, and he liked to stay with the same routine every single day. But me, I'm the kind of guy that likes to try different things. And if it works, then I'll keep doing it. And I go through a lot of changes. That song by Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath. I'm going through changes. Well, I'm going through changes too. Not only women go through changes, right? Their body. And I don't know too much about that. But I'm going through changes too. We all go through changes. So I think, and I've got my exercise routine also, and that might be aggravating my sleep apnea, but the last couple of nights have been pretty good. I haven't had any attacks, you know, and I think because I'm giving up the karaoke and sticking with a cappella. So just in case I change my mind, I'm letting you know that. So the next time I come on the show next Saturday, I'm going to say, well, a week's gone by and I haven't done any karaoke. I've only been singing a cappella. And so, and you might be thinking to yourself, well, this guy, you know, he's got a little bit of anxiety, PTSD maybe. Yeah, we all have PTSD in this world, don't we? So many people have PTSD. My parents had it. My mom went through the bombing in London. Dad was at Normandy and Dunkirk. You know, I saw PTSD up close for all of my life living with them. And maybe I have it too. You know, I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995. March the 29th at Stanford University. I'll never forget that day. The doctor who did the operation that took my right kidney out and gave it to my son, and he's doing great, by the way. I mentioned that he just got his first car. He was the brother to actor Willem Dafoe. I forget his last name is Dafoe. I forget his first name. But I remember coming into the my hospital room the night before the surgery, which was going to happen in the morning. And we chatted, and I said, I saw his name. You know, I guess I had to sign some notes, and I saw he'd signed his name there. And I looked at him, and I said, are you the actor of, are you the brother of actor Willem Dafoe? And he said, yes, that's my brother. I said, wow. Anyway, so I was talking about, you know, I read from that book, we all come from a pre-existence. We're born into Earth, but when we do come, and we're usually brought to Earth by angels also, by the way, our spirits and our souls. Remember that song by the Police, don't forget. We are spirits in the material world. I mean, the Police said it. You can't argue with the Police under that song. And even Madonna said it. You know, material world. Remember that song by Madonna? Material world. Anyway, is there anybody, let me see, by a show of hands, anybody out there don't believe that they have a spirit and soul in the body? I'm looking. Okay, one person over there, young soul. Never mind. Anyway, I'm just kidding. So we're born into this existence here on Earth. Or it could be any other planet in our Milky Way galaxy or any galaxy in the universe, my friends. And I had written something down. I'm looking. So we're souls. And we come to Earth. We cross over, I've mentioned to you, something called the River of Oblivion. River of Oblivion. That's a tongue twister. River of Oblivion. River of Oblivion. It's hard to say it. Say it fast three times. And our memories of our pre-existence and our past lives, because some of us, through that process of reincarnation, have many past lives, and we're going to have more lives. I mean, after you die, hey, you think you're going to die? You think you're invincible, don't you? You're not going to die. Well, let me bring you to reality. As I was saying before, and, you know, I love switching subjects here, okay? Don't hold me to just sticking to the same subject. You got to change subjects anyway, eventually, right? So we live in a civilization, a society here of fantasy. You see all the fantasy violence, fantasy. And we need reality checks at times. You know, we're going through a pandemic. That's a reality check. You see all these violence on all the violent movies on TV, all these violent action heroes, you know, people getting killed. John Wick, 112 people killed in his movie. We got to get away from fantasy, my friends. And so how does that relate to Jesus that was born in Bethlehem? Okay. Mother Mary becomes pregnant. Okay. How do you think that happened? you think, some people say, well, the Spirit of God came over her. Yes. But the thing is, she needed a sperm cell put into her uterus, so to speak. Excuse my, you know, I know this is kind of a delicate subject to talk about, but reality, it, you just can't, it's like God will not just create a tree, boom, you know, without putting the seed in there and having it grow. I mean, I think the Creator, our Mother and Father God, or the Creator of the universe, could do that. But they prefer to operate inside the spiritual dimension instead of the physical dimension. They won't perform those kinds of miracles. Usually they'll have other entities do it. And I say entity, I mean extraterrestrials. I know most of you have heard of the book by Eric von Däniken, Chariots of the Gods. Extraterrestrials are out there. And I've already proven to you through my theory that I've said before that there is life out there. The universe is teeming with life. Anybody who thinks otherwise is just a young soul, probably in their first life, maybe second life, the most, you know? But that doesn't make me any better than you, right? We're all souls. We shouldn't be competing with each other just because, you know, in the university of the universe, and we're going from one planet to another, going through that process of reincarnation, evolving. Our souls are evolving. It's like being in a higher grade. So you might have a brother or a sister who was in the fifth grade, and you're in the first grade. That doesn't make them better than you are. It just means that they're older than you are. Very simple. And there's no competition involved in there. So we are souls, and we should treat each other like souls. You know, we should love each other. We should adore each other. So Mother Mary, she was inseminated. To tell you the truth, I'll come right out and say it. She was artificially inseminated. Hello, reality check. You can't have a woman get pregnant without a sperm cell, okay? Artificial insemination. ETs were, I mean, they've been existing. They were in existence. Their solar systems were created a long time before ours, to put it in simple terms, okay? They've been traveling around the universe, some of them, for millions and millions and millions of years. I mean, how long have we been in existence for? Thousands, you know? I mean, we don't even, there have been other civilizations on Earth before our civilization, you know, have flourished, like in Atlantis, hello, you know, Lemuria, Mu in the Pacific Ocean also. The first human beings that came to Earth from the planet Bacchaturini in our solar system. Anyway, so Mother Mary was artificially inseminated under the process of hypnosis. And then another thing, I want to make this Christmas special, you know. I mean, if anybody wants to really know the truth and kind of get away from fantasy, because unless you have another plausible explanation, you might say, well, the Spirit of God came over Mother Mary. But we're living in a material world, and the laws of reality operate within that material world. You just, like I said with that tree, you can't just have a tree, a full-grown tree, materialize. It has to grow from a seed to a large tree, right? I'm trying to, you know, it benefits me to talking about reality and fantasy. And, you know, people are obsessed with this fantasy violence that's out there. You see all the movies. You surf through the channels on your television. One violent movie after another, people being killed left and right. And people look at it, wide-eyed, mouth open, thinking, wow, that's cool. But they're lost in a fantasy world. And one thing, if there's anything good about this pandemic, my friends, it is putting us in touch with reality. And the politics that's going on right now, you know, with Mr. Trump, and I mean, that shouldn't be happening. You know, the welfare of the people, we the people, has more priority than the competition between the Republicans and Democrats. And you know that's true. But what are you doing about it? Nothing. We can't, because we're stuck in our system that we made because we didn't know any better, because we're going through that process of evolution. So let's go from Mother Mary now to the Star of Bethlehem, another important point. And take heart, be encouraged in these words that I'm saying. I don't mean to bash anything that you believe in, you know, to shatter your faith. We have to get to the truth to evolve from one level to the next level, you know. These ETs are out there waiting for us, but they know the the human military mind, they landed to get shot at, just like in The Day the Earth Stood Still. You know, you remember that movie? It's the same thing. Because, and people freak out, like in War of the Worlds on the radio back in the 30s. You know, people thought they were under an actual alien attack, and they panicked and went crazy, you know, so to speak. So the next thing, I'm trying to make this a very special Christmas for you, for everybody, for myself, you know, to do my part. You know, this is my show. I pay CBS Radio some money to have my own show. You ought to do the same, too, if you don't already have a show. Let's hear what you're passionate about. You know, it's great to be able to talk for an hour and discuss anything that's on your mind, what you believe in, whether it's true or not, you know. But I'm trying to get to the truth. So the other thing I wanted to discuss to make this Christmas a better one, and I'm sharing what I've learned from other people, you know, and that is the Star of Bethlehem. So Mother Mary, artificially inseminated, the Star of Bethlehem. Now, some people might say it was a star. Well, now, hello, stars are like light years away. And if it was any kind of heavenly body, it would be in motion, right? And heavenly bodies that are in motion cannot stop and shine a light down on a fixed area for an extended period of time. Are you listening? So, I apologize if I offended you by saying that. So what it was, my friends, was an extraterrestrial probe. But because, you see, there is a race of extraterrestrials who are involved with the monitoring and observation of our planet. These more highly advanced civilizations who are technologically and spiritually many, many, many years in advance of our civilization, of us. That's just the way it is in the universe. We look after each other. You know, it's like having an older brother or an older sister look after a younger brother or sister. And these are human beings, you know, they're hermaphrodites. They've intervened in our past before, usually at the direction of the spirit, mother and father. You know, they're in tune with that fourth dimension, and they know when it's the time is right to do what the will of the spirit, mother and father, or the supreme creator is. You know, spirit, mother and father, they grew up to, like we're doing, going through that process of evolution and reincarnation, evolving our spirits and our souls, living on many planets throughout the universe before you finally get to that stage where you're a co-creator God in the Most Highest, and you're ready to then create your own solar system and create plant and animal life and create your own children, spirit children. Here on Earth, we have 7 billion that belong to most of them, unless they come, you know, from other solar systems around the universe where they were born on other suns, so to speak, you know, because the spirit world is the sun, and the mother and father in heaven on the sun are spirits, because the spirit can live in a fire, in the fire. The spirits inside of our bodies are made of light energy, and light energy exists in fire because fire is light energy. Right? Let me read a part of this book by Jesse Duplantis called Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind. And what he was taken up, like, he laid down on his bed, so it was kind of like a dream, kind of like a vision, but he was actually, his spirit was uplifted like Paul and John in the Bible. And don't get me wrong, I love the Bible. I just don't believe in everything. Uplifted into the highest heaven, which is the sun. The lowest heaven is above the clouds. And then, you know, for the people that die kind of violently and suddenly here on Earth, they walk around as ghosts. There's this plane, you know, above the surface of the Earth. And then there's also down below the Earth, which is known as hell, or a.k.a. God's jail. But so, in this book, Jesse Duplantis, who is a well-known televangelist who has a mega church in New Orleans. He wrote this book. You ought to read it. It's called Heaven. It will blow your mind. I mean, say the least. It's a very cool book. You will love it. I mean, if you want to get an idea of what heaven looks like, and there are quite a few books out there, but this one is one of the best, so please take my word for it. You got to get this book. You can buy it from Amazon. Heaven, Close Encounters of the God Kind. So he's made his way from the outskirts of heaven all the way into the city to the throne room. Now he's in the throne room. He's been accompanied by an angel. And all the way, the light is getting brighter and brighter, and it's washing over him and other people too. If, unless you're sufficiently prepared to withstand the brilliance and glory of the light, the Spirit Mother and Father, you won't be able to get close to them. So one of the things you can do is eat the fruit from the trees of life there. Also smell the leaves. Like it says in the Bible, the leaves of the nation are meant for healing. If you smell them, it strengthens the spirit, apparently. You drink the fruit, it strengthens the spirit. So he's made his way all the way to the throne room, and now I'm going to read from this book and tell you what he's experiencing. Check it out. For the first time in my life, I could understand the Trinity in physical terms. Now, I don't personally don't believe in the Trinity. In a way, I do, but it's not the way that the Bible says it is. But that's another subject. Jesus came out of the cloud in the power of the Father. Jesus literally came out of the very existence of Jehovah God. And when he did, the people shouted. Jesus and the Father were one, yet they were two. He was in the Father, and the Father was in him. He was at the right hand of God. When he came out of that power, he was in human form, something we could touch. All my life as a minister, I thought Jesus as a teacher, a mild-mannered, calm person. When he came out onto the platform of that throne, I could hear a sound from the Father. Whoosh! Whoosh! Was a sound of power. The Jesus I heard that day was not a teacher, even though obviously he can teach. He was a dynamic preacher. I'd always thought of Jesus being a quiet teacher, but he's full of power and preached with authority. All the people there were listening. Jesus preached with great emotion. I could see that he was torn with compassion for those who were still on earth. Jesus preached of his coming to earth. He said, I'm going to get my body, and my body shall reside in this place that my Father has created for us all. There was a stirring among the people, and they began shouting and praising God. Jesus began to shout, I'm going to get your brothers. I'm going to get your sisters. I'm going to get your family. I'm bringing them back to this place to live with me forever and ever. He was a preacher full of victory, shouting and hollering. He was excited, and the people were screaming and hollering too. As he preached, people, even though they were in new celestial bodies, fell under the power of God. Even in heavenly bodies, they fell under God's power. Then I heard Jehovah's voice saying, I am well pleased. I was lying on the floor trying to take in all that was happening. It was the most amazing, powerful experience I've ever gone through. I couldn't look at Jehovah's face, but I could look at Jesus. You see, the heart of God is the Father. The face of the Father is unveiled by the Son, Jesus. The voice of God is heard through the Holy Ghost. The hand of God is laid upon through the church. Not that I don't believe that, but it's a little bit different. In my opinion. As Jesus was preaching, I saw him turn around several times and look into that massive light. But I realized that I couldn't do that. I had to keep looking down. But I could look up long enough to see glimpses of what was around me, and I could see Jesus' face. I could hardly bear the Father's power. Jesus would look back at the Father, sometimes just looking over his shoulder, as if they didn't want to be separated, even by sight, very long. I could sense the love of God in Jesus, and I could see the affection and love flowing back and forth between the Father and the Son. Well, I'm a son of God, too. I never before seen love like that. It seemed magnetic. Jesus would walk in and out of that power, the fire, the massive amount of energy. When Jesus walked back into that energy, as he got closer, I would have to put my head down again because I couldn't handle the light. But the form of a man, as he walked toward the energy, would transform back into spirit. I saw new lives of little babies singing, new babies singing and flying around God's throne. It seemed to me that babies just came out of the breath of God. It looked like they were wearing nightgowns. They flew into the presence of Jehovah. So that's enough for right now. My point is, and I'll kind of digress a little bit from what I was talking about, but there, the light of God is so powerful, and you have to understand light. When you get to heaven, if you can't withstand the brilliance and glory, it's you're bad, your mistake for not having prepared yourself for it here on earth. So that's why we need to develop ourselves spiritually every day. So back to changing the subject, back to the Star of Bethlehem, an extraterrestrial probe, which was approximately 250 meters, maybe 500 meters above the stable where Jesus was born. But then, you know, you don't hear anything about the miracles that Jesus performed, the young Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. Yes, he was a very evolved soul, an evolved soul, and he impressed a lot of people with his teaching, and they could see that in him, his eyes, you know, he looked to be a very evolved soul. But the thing is, and let me explain this as quickly as I can to you, the miracles that Jesus performed, he needed to perform to convince the people at that time that he was for real, that God was real. You know, to kind of destroy that negativity that was going on back then. And make no mistake, the world was in a pretty sorry state of affairs back then with all kinds of evil happening, fornication with animals, murder, all kinds of immoral sex with men and women going on, orgies, raping, you name it. You know, that was happening back then. That's why the time was ripe for intervention of a very special kind. And so Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, left that area there. It's proven that he left when he was like 12, 14 years old. He had a brother. They left. They went to Burma, China, India, around there. And as I mentioned in previous shows, his brother was killed. His brother's name was Yuriki. He made it to Japan. He got married. He had children. He died of a ripe old age of 90-some years old. So then many years passed by, like maybe 18 years before, not even 18, say 15 to 18 years before Jesus apparently showed up again. Well, you see, that was part of the extraterrestrials' plan. That was step two. Step one was to have the baby born in Bethlehem to create that savior of the world mindset, which is true, you know. But then they also needed step two for a being to do all those miracles. And the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem didn't have, even though he had knowledge, but when he crossed over the river of oblivion into this life from the pre-existence, as it is with all of us, that those memories were erased. It happens to everybody when you're born into this world. Your memories of your past lives are erased. You're made to forget. Simple. You know, so don't worry about it. It's cool. Just enjoy the ride, you know. So, you remember the movie Avatar, directed by James Cameron? Now, think of the blue bodies that were created. They created the blue bodies, and then they put themselves, their spirits, their astral bodies, however you want to call it, into those blue bodies. Now, that same principle was used to take a very advanced soul living on the highest category planet in our Milky Way galaxy, who had been living there, who knew all the principles of how miracles happen, how to deal with that, the knowledge. He had the knowledge. So he was prepared for coming here in a human body, not a blue body, but a human body. They created a human body. I think they made it to resemble the Jesus that had gone on to, who was born in Bethlehem, went on to Japan. You know, facial characteristics was the same. That made sense. Makes sense to do it that way, to create the body that way, right? Are you with me? Are you following me? So the preparation was done. You know, obviously he had to learn the language. And they had foreseen, you know, because when you're an extremely advanced soul, you know, in an advanced civilization, you can foresee some things are going to happen. The ministry was for 3 years, and all these miracles would be performed. Then the greatest miracle of all, the resurrection, would happen. And then Jesus would, his dead body would be taken back to the spaceship and would be brought back to life. You know, his wounds kind of healed. Of course, I think they left the holes in the hands and the feet as a way to just prove that indeed he had been killed on the cross, you know. So I think all those miracles, I can name them. You name them anywhere from turning water into wine all the way up until raising Lazarus. I mean, all the way to include the raising of Lazarus from the dead. I can explain how that was happened. I mean, he didn't like wave a magic wand and it happened, you know. He had help from extraterrestrials above, even walking on the water and calming the seas. They know how to do that. They know how to adjust the orbits of planets to change the weather, you know. So there's so many things that we haven't even thought about that they, through the benefit of having been in existence millions of more years than our civilization, we shouldn't underestimate their capabilities of doing things. I mean, you've seen what's happened over the last couple of years with our technology. So just go back in time a couple hundred years ago and talk to, like, somebody, an old a cowboy walking on the plain in Texas, you know, riding a horse. And you ride up alongside of them and say, hey, did you know that someday man is going to go to the moon? And they're going to put a spacecraft on the moon. And he look at you like, what the hell are you talking about? So it's kind of like, I mean, that's a comparison, if you will, about the way we are in relation to those advanced ETs that are out there, you know? And anyway, how am I doing on time? I'm going to sing a couple of songs for you. I'll try to get you in the, including myself, in the Christmas spirit. I've logged off my computer, but I mean, I've been logged off. Log back on. No, I don't need to, because I only have a few more minutes. So one of my favorite songs, and just to let you know that I'm a lover of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. And I appreciate the Jesus who was born in Bethlehem as a great soul. And we'll find out the truth one day, my friends. And if I'm wrong, when we're in heaven, you can come up to me and say, you know what, you are flat wrong. But if I'm right, then you're going to say, you know, I listened to your radio show, and you talked about this, and I'm amazed. You were right, and I was wrong, and I apologize. And I'm saying, it's okay, it's all good, you know. It's all right, let's get on with our lives. We got some evolving to do, and, you know, and other planets to go and live on in our future, you know, so that process of reincarnation, we got to prepare for them. But in the meantime, let's just enjoy the parties, you know, that are going on in heaven, you know. I mean, they're rejoicing, they're praising, they're screaming, they're yelling, oh, you heard me talk about it. They're eating that fruit from the trees of life, and it is delicious, my friend. Do you think maybe the best piece of cheesecake or blueberry pie or cherry pie or any kind of chocolate bar or any kind of dessert you can think of, fruit from the tree of life in heaven is the greatest thing that you will ever taste in your life. There's nothing better. But anyway, here goes a song called What Child Is This? Let me take a drink of water. This voice is getting a little bit dry. On the nose. I'm out here in the patio. It's not too bad. It's about maybe 65 degrees. But it's fresh air. That's what I like, you know. Fresh air. That's what I'm talking about. Here we go. What child is this? What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christians fear for sinners here, the silent word is pleading. Nail spear shall pierce him through, the cross be born for me, for you. Hail, hail the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings, let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise a song on high, the Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the Son of Mary. Well, now I've got another song for you. I've got a solo to sing in church tomorrow. And I've sung a few solos in church. I'm a member of the gospel choir at Freedom Chapel on Lackland Air Force Base. And my wife and I actually sang this together, but she, now that she's older, she prefers not to go through that stress, if you will, stressfulness of having to do a solo in front of the church, you know. Of course, the congregation is not going to be that big because of COVID. And I don't even like calling it COVID, you know, I call it CV, coronavirus is CV. Don't give it a fancy name. It's kind of disgusting. You know, that's why also with some terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda, they make it seem like, oh, it's such a cool name, or Hezbollah or whatever, you know. It's like, don't give them a fancy name, you know. They're just mean, vicious terrorists, you know. And this is a mean disease. Don't give it, don't, I know we got to call it something, but anyway. So this song is called Grace, and it goes like this. I take a drink of water again. Grace, grace, God's grace, His grace is sufficient for me, my Lord. Grace, grace, God's grace, His grace will give you the victory. Grace will keep you from falling. Grace will keep you from sin. Grace will help you love everybody. Oh, and grace will give you peace within. Grace, grace, God's grace, His grace is sufficient for me, my Lord. Grace, grace, God's grace, His grace will give you the victory. So that's my solo tomorrow. There's another verse too, but I've got to rehearse the words a little bit more in preparation, so I didn't want to chance it. Because I'm not quite, I think it goes, grace woke you up this morning. Grace will start you on your way. Grace will help you love your enemies. Grace will brighten up your day. That's it. Yeah, those are the words. So I only have a little while left. And I think Doug's about to tell me, but we got a few seconds or a minute left. Anyway, doesn't time, for me, time seems to fly. So please, I hope that you're not suffering from this pandemic. I know there's so many people out there. Remember to say your prayers, please. Say your prayers. And I'm going to say a prayer to the Supreme Creator of the universe. And have you ever heard of a book called Conversations with God? The author's name is Neil Donald Walsh, and he has, I mean, we don't need an intermediary to talk with the Mother and Father God or the Supreme Creator of the universe. I've heard the Supreme Creator of the universe talk with me in my prayers, talk back. You got to pray from the heart, my friends, you know. You got to be really sincere, and that's when you hear a voice back right away, just like that. You hear it. And Neil Donald Walsh also, with his books, Conversations with God, the trilogy, and there's some other books also that he wrote. Same thing. He would ask a question, but he would believe, you know, he would really believe, and he'd get an answer back. And he wrote it down, and he created all these books, Conversations with God, 1, 2, and 3. You got to check it out.
All right, about 1 minute.
1 minute. So I would go, here's a prayer to the Supreme Creator of the universe. Supreme Creator of the universe, in this university of the universe, we are all souls, and we shouldn't be competing with each other, but such is life on a Category 1 planet, Supreme Creator. We give you praise and thanks for the miracles of all creation. You are great and wonderful and powerful. We love you. You are awesome. We love you so much, and thank you for loving us, for this life. Every day is a gift. Thank you. Please bless us, everyone here on Earth, and protect us. And if it could be your will, please stop the virus, this coronavirus. That is our prayer. Thank you for everything, Supreme Creator. I'll talk with you all next week. Take care. I love you. Bye-bye.